The next two Sundays, we are going to explore this word church. So for the next two Sundays, this will be a little bit of an introduction, and then next week we're going to hammer it home. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, if everybody else's mind is like mine, there's so much going on. Seems like there's too much in my head to focus on one thing at a time. Lord God, may you be present in these words. May you be evident, and may the gospel be the most important thing we speak about today. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So a little over 3 years ago, coming here from Texas, I kind of asked a question just first and foremost, what can someone, and I put someone maybe in quotes here, like someone maybe like me, what can I learn about you by where you're sitting right now? Or can I learn anything about where you're sitting? For some of you, I've noticed after 3 years and after me saying this over and over again, some of you are starting to move about. Some of you have had a fixed position, but because you like to play games with me, you like to find out how many different places you can be. Some of you like to hold up the pillars. So every Sunday, you are sitting by the pillar, and you are making sure that one of your limbs is on the pillar, right? Some of you enjoy the heating ducts. Some of you like the choir and how the sound acoustics resonate. Some of you like to be in the front. Some of you like to be in the very, very back. Yes, thank you. Yes. Very proud of it, too. And so what can I learn about your personality or your faith based on where you sit? Or can I? And so I just began to take a look at things. Does everyone, when you go to another church, do you guys look at where people sit? You guys don't do that. Only pastors do that. All right, great. All right, so I was just wondering if it was me or... But this interesting thing of where do you sit? Because sometimes where do you sit? Sometimes it's an open spot. If you're new and you sit down, sometimes they'll tap on the shoulder and say, excuse me, you're in my spot. Didn't know. And so there's this interesting little concept here of in the church, there is this seating order that sometimes it develops over years. And so maybe you can remember how many years you've been in your spot. And so we talk about the church sometimes in that manner. Is so-and-so a member of your church? And I can sometimes say, oh, yeah, they're third pew from the back on this side. And so that kind of marks you as a Lutheran is where you sit. Because you're there every single Sunday. The problem is the closer you sit, if you miss, we know it. We know it, don't we? And so it's like, you know, it's almost like you're totally missed. But it's interesting is when we get to this concept of where you're sitting, what we also want to talk about here is this. How do we come together? How do we come together? More than just the spot, how do we come together? Because there are several places in Scripture where we talk about coming together. And when we take a look at the Gospels, there's a couple of different places that I wanted to bring out this morning. You know, when Jesus was going around, he was talking, he was speaking, and he had these 12 guys in tow, and he was trying to mentor them. And so we can see that when Jesus was trying to prepare for the future, he was personally investing in 12 of these men, at least 12. There's a couple more that aren't mentioned until later on, but 12 men that he said, okay, these are going to be the anchors, all right? And so for 12 men going around, Jesus was preaching the word, and they had time to ask him questions, and also as the first kind of mobile church, they also didn't get along very well. And so they also bickered and fight. And so you can see all this different little things going around. And then, interesting enough, is when Jesus went back to his hometown, he opened up the book of Isaiah. And he wanted to get into their minds that the same person who wrote to the people of Israel during their captivity and said, I'm going to free you, plus I'm going to send a Savior, Messiah. Jesus goes to a group of people that are gathered in what's called a synagogue, a church of the Old Testament kind of a mindset. And he says, I want to read you the scripture. And then he started teaching them. And so what I want to point out here is this. People, even in Jesus' day, were gathering together to hear the word, to focus on the word, to kind of go over the bits, nitty-gritties of the word. And what does this mean? What is in the Old Testament? What do you think this means? And so they had learned people even back then who would divulge and teach. And so they're gathering together. And then this whole thing of Passover, once a year, where you would literally have millions of people in Jerusalem. Millions of people. They would sit down at a table together, and they would remember. They would remember how God had brought them out of Egypt, out of their slavery, into freedom. And we see in the Gospels that Jesus sits his 12 disciples down as this small congregation and says, okay, the reason for the Passover is to point to me. And so with his 12 disciples, Jesus says, okay, from now on, this is how you're going to remember me. And so we go on and we see that even after Jesus ascends into heaven, we see that if you notice that middle portion right there, for a whole year, Paul met with the church and taught a great many people. So here we see the gathering of people, and we see the a teacher bringing out the Old Testament and said, this is how Jesus came. He fulfilled every one of the things that you have been talking about. He has come, and he is our lamb, and he has bled on the cross under the Roman authorities. And now he has risen from the dead, just as he says he has in the Old Testament, where he is pointing to that he would spring forth so that they could put their faith in this Jesus. And so we see the gathering of people in one place. And so we see also in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, we see Christians aren't always liked. In this country, we are way too privileged. We are way too privileged. Talking with someone who just yesterday who spent time outside the United States, we are privileged in here. Just go to another country and wear a cross and see what happens. Here in this country, we are allowed to really live out our faith, and sometimes that we take that for granted. Whereas in other countries, just speaking the name of Jesus Christ will get you the death penalty. And so interesting enough is Peter and the early church was going through that. One of the biggest ones was this guy named Saul, who later became Paul. But in some of this persecution, Peter was kept in prison. Let's read this together. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. So let me ask you this. What was the church involved in? What was it involved in? Just by looking at this, we talked about in the previous verse that we talked about how the teaching of the word was involved in the early church. Now, what else can we see from here? What else are they involved in? Prayer. Is that easy for Lutherans to pray out loud? If I call on one of you guys to pray right now, would you accept it? One person. That's not easy for us to do as Lutherans. We just don't get into that habit. It's a little small little joke, but we tend to look at our shoes, right? Because you don't want to be called on. because that's awkward for us, and we don't get into the habit, and when we don't get into a habit, the habit does not become a habit. And so we see that the early church went to God in prayer. That whatever happened, they went to God in prayer. And so, interesting enough, from Acts 14:23, let's read this together. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. You know what came into my mind when I was reading this? What would happen if I asked you guys to fast until you came here? Would you guys be smiling when you saw me? Or would you hold a grudge against me? I'm fasting just because for you. And we don't get into that habit of fasting and combining that with prayer. But we see in the early church, that's what they did. That's what they did. And so this morning, I wanted to take a look at this, of going without in order to prepare ourselves for the most amazing thing. And so I began to toy with, do I do that? Do I ask the church to do that? Do we get into this habit of, if there's something important that's happening in the world, do we fast and say, Lord, we're going without, simply because that is what the early church did when they called upon your name, because they wanted to rest firmly on the strength that you would give them and not on the strength of their own bodies. And so I began to wonder about that and began to ask myself, well, what would Lutherans do and where would they go? And so I just wanted to come up with this concept. Why are we gathered together today? Why did you decide to wake up early in the morning? Some of y'all are thinking about hunting right now. I know that. It's the last week of the season, and sometimes that is prevalent of what else could I be doing right now? But the church, what else is there? And I'm going to ask that we go old school. Can you find a hymnal, please? It's amazing how much you can go over about what you learn. I would ask you to go to page 323 of the hymnal. Page 323, it's divided into two columns. We're going to be in the first column. It's called the third article of the Apostles' Creed, all right? It talks about sanctification, and we can see the part where Luther added the what does this mean. And so what I wanted to go over is several key concepts from what Luther's talking about. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true. We can see here that what Luther's trying to point out, there's nothing good inside of me. There's nothing worthwhile in me. That my sin is so great that I cannot by my own thought automatically say, you know what, I want to believe in Jesus today. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. And that's not a work of you and me. So when we say, wow, I can call on Jesus' name, that is a gift given to us by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so no one can call upon him in faith unless the Holy Spirit is active and present. And so we go on. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he and forgives all my sins and the sins of all. One of the reasons to gather together, to come together, to hear the word is also to hear the word spoken to us, that what you have done has been paid for you on the cross. And so one of the reasons why we gather together is we can hear this on the internet. We can hear this on YouTube, and we can hear a preacher, but there's something about gathering together because there is something there where we can look at each one of us and say, I'm no better than you. And yet we stand here forgiven by the cross of Christ, and then we can gather together and be strengthened in that word. And so Luther picks up on it, is we're just a bunch of sinners coming here on our knees, begging for forgiveness and receiving it all at once. What an amazing thing the Christian church has received from God. To be strengthened by those around us. On the last day, he will raise me and all the... and give eternal life to me and all in Christ. This is most certainly true. Yesterday, we had a funeral for Donna Gast. And it was about 200 people, a little over 200 people here. One of the things of the Christian church is to gather to help those who mourn, to help those who ask questions, and also to understand that when we depart in the faith, we don't depart alone. Just as when we go away from here, we don't depart to an empty room. And so isn't it interesting enough that in the modern day age of technology, we get on you young people, don't we? I mean, y'all are always texting, right? And never looking up. Yeah? Do we do that, adults? We make fun of, we show the pictures, we go out to eat, we notice the family that's all texting. You notice how we've taught them how to do that in the church? We sometimes, like when you first come into a church and no one talks to each other, and you can go without the entire service and no one talks to you, and you leave the church and no one has spoken to you. I've done that, Lutheran churches. My wife and I, we'd just stand around looking at people, and then we would leave. And then we would say, did we miss something? And so I began to ask the question of the Christian church. The Christian church, as we're gathered together, what's the most important thing? Is the most important thing at what time we start? Or is the most important thing to make sure that everyone who gathers there, that we recognize that each one of us is going through something in life that sometimes somebody else is going through the exact same thing. And so sometimes it takes a long time to kind of connect, but sometimes, I mean, just losing a loved one, whether it's a mother, I lost my father, or whether it's I lost a brother or sister, or unfortunately I lost a child. And I don't know how to grieve for that. And in the church, sometimes there are others there who have gone through the exact same thing and can look into your eyes and you know that they understand. And they've been through what you've been through, and that is the church right there. That's the reason why we come together instead of sitting at home watching it on a screen, is because God wanted you to connect just like he wants to connect with you. And so as a church, that is why we are sitting here today. That is the reason why we stand up together. Did anybody sing in the shower as you were getting ready this morning? Did any of you shower this morning? And so if you shower and you're singing and you sound incredible, right? Because you're the only one in the shower singing. And so on top of that, we come together and that voice is added with another voice and another voice and another voice. And we get to sing our praises to God collectively in order so our singing is even that much more amazing. When we confess in the words of the creed, that when we're confessing together, that means our confession is even stronger because it is with other people. And when we kneel together, can you imagine communion alone? Can you imagine Jesus going to the Passover and saying, okay, 12 disciples, go somewhere else and get it other. He calls. He gathers.
takes that bread and takes that wine and says, this is for you. This is why I'm doing this. And we get to, as a congregation, kneel here together. One sinner with another sinner, begging for table scraps from the Father, hoping that he would just give it to us. And hearing the words, take and eat. Totally understanding that I don't deserve any of that. And yet my Father wants to give me as an amazing Father that he is. And so Luther, in his large catechism, Book of Concord, points out that in this community, of a church, he said, I am also a part and member, a participant and a co-partner in all the blessings it possesses. And so what we want to get into in these next two sermons is that how we come together, and when we come together and the Holy Spirit works within us, we are stronger than what we can do just individually. And when we talk about the Word together and we talk about how life has sometimes tried to sink the ship, that it is the anchor of Christ that keeps us grounded in why we're here. And why we're here is those words under that screen, go disciple all nations. So this morning we remember. We remember why we're here. Why we're sitting where we're sitting. And so this morning, I wanted to kind of wrap it up with this video. J.L. Tolkien had an amazing piece. And I've been watching this over and over again. Tolkien was a Christian who wanted to share a lot about the faith, but he embedded it inside here. And I wanted you guys, hopefully this video works.
No! Frodo! Frodo!
No, Sam.
Go back, Sam! Going to Mordor alone.
Of course you are. And I'm coming with you.
You can't swim.
Did you catch that? The main actor was going to Judgment Day by himself, going to face the evil one by himself. Can you see how that is our mindset in the church? Oh, don't worry, we'll do that individually. We'll get that done. We'll go alone. And so you see one of his best friends and says, yeah, you're going there alone. You're just carrying me along with you. And so he says, you can't swim. Does that stop him? Some of us can't swim. But there's someone there to reach out our hands and pull us up when we need it. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, it's going to be coming up here in just a second again. Let's read this together. Hebrews 10, verse 25. We should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. That's something that each one of us needs. And the Lord has built that within us as he calls, gathers, and enlightens us this morning. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this morning, we pray that you would be with us, Lord. And Lord, there's a lot of times I just want to do things by myself. I think it's easier that way. I don't have to mess with others. I don't have to get into the stickiness of life. But Lord God, you have given the church as a gift here. Help us, remind us each and every day that, Lord God, you have given us other people in order that we may praise you even more. We may sing your praises. We may hear the word together and be strengthened by that. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.